Welcome back at WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. The shirt out in front tells you so. Appreciate all of our incredible spots, including our friends at Liberty Pure Solutions, taking care of my hot water heater around here and the well water needs at WNST. It is that time where, you know, you don't want the pipes freezing and stuff. It's winter time. But around here, right after like the Super Bowl, I would usually go away. And this is my 30th year of doing this annually. Right around now, we would say it's baseball season. Pitchers and catchers are reporting. Been a little while since I had my pal Dave Shinen on. Been so long that I believe Shinen. This is the first time that I have Zoomed from the Inner Harbor East toward Patterson Park to have you join us here on the Zoom. It is so good. Dude, if I would have known you were going to wear a Prince hat, that purple and that awesome, I would have had you on Zoom years ago, man.
Well, you know, Prince was my guy, man. I got this hat for Christmas one year from my kids, you know, because I was always talking about Prince and was torn up after he passed away. And yeah, man, I wear it with pride. He was the greatest musician of our era.
I never knew you were a Prince guy, right? So yeah. I've been doing I'm getting rid of my memorabilia, you know, from the rock and roll era from 30. I got all this stuff, you know, and it's taken up 8 boxes, literally, and I've pared it down to about 3. I got all my ticket stubs. So, you know, I found all my old Oriole, like, hit and run club tickets, my summer of 79. This is the night the Orioles clinched American League East, right? Nice. There, September 15th. My mom took me out there. Section 16, man. It was kind of hard to sit in section 16. That was like right over the bullpen, you know? So I'm going through all this stuff and I found my Prince. I had a full ticket for the Prince Love Sexy tour at the Spectrum that never got used. I had a work issue. I was working at the Sun. So I have a full ticket and I saw Prince a number of times. But one of the tickets I found, I gave to my wife. I said, "What is this ticket? I wish I had the box in here. It's in the other room. I would show it to you." Prince played at the Capitol Ballroom in D.C. one night when Larry B. Graham was on the bass. And it was this giant space. It was kind of like a rave space. You know, it wasn't like a real space. And the ticket, much like your hat, didn't say the P word. You know, it said the revolution of the magical, mystical. I'll find the ticket. Yeah, but I handed it to her and said, "What's this a ticket to?" And she's like, "I don't know." I'm like, "Prince." And of course, there was the magical, magical night at the Model Lyric, right? Did you participate in that one?
No, after the Freddie Gray situation.
No, that was at the arena. I missed that one.
Yeah, I missed
that
one.
I was in Kansas City at a baseball game. That sounds like something you would say, right? But no, I missed the Royal Farms one. But we were, well, this is why I was going to tell you about the hat and the symbol. My wife caught his pick in the front row.
Whoa.
At the Miami Beach press thing where he was going to do a press conference.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah. But he did a concert.
So, you know, I'm connected with the NFL, Shiny. And I had a little inside scoop, right? So we went in and reserved the seats in the Miami Beach Convention Center ahead of time, early in the morning. We knew. And we went in and reserved our seats, and everybody was respectful. And we had front row, dead, like, boom. Me, my wife, and we thought, it's going to be a press conference of Prince. And Prince gets up in the orange and does Johnny Be Good and the whole deal, right? My wife held the camera. So we have the 7-minute on video.
Oh, my God.
And he threw a pick, and my wife. So my wife has the purple. It's like an iridescent purpley kind of thing, and it has the symbol on it. And it does say Prince on it.
Oh. Well, there you go, man.
I guess this is after you got his name back.
Yeah, that's a forever keeper right there.
Love Prince, man. So, like, the music thing, do you miss music more? Or, like, are you looking forward to being in a socially distanced baseball press box on the roof in Nats Park? I mean, like, the music thing's got to be killing you, dude, right?
Yeah. I mean, I would say more music just because, you know, I at this point, I associate baseball and live sports with work, although, you know, taking my kids to Oriole games and sitting in the stands for their swimming events, you know, I have two little young
swimmers. How old are they now?
About to turn 12 and 14.
Wow.
And they're swimmers. And man, I mean, that's what crushes me probably more than anything is watching them swim, seeing my kids in the water. And that's killing me. We can't even watch practices, let alone meets. And the meets are few and far between because of this COVID restrictions and stuff. So,
and this time's not coming back. And you know that, I mean, you're old. Yeah. We're all old enough to know we're not going to have these experiences.
Yeah.
Know.
Yeah. And so I miss it all. But live music is absolutely 100% up there with, you know, the biggest voids in my life. I can't tell you, man. I mean, how many shows I would go to, you know, in the old days. And I don't know when that's coming back. I don't know what it's going to look like when it comes back. But God, man, I can't wait. I can't wait to be back in a sweaty club, you know, seeing a new up and coming band.
I want a beer on the lawn at Merriweather. That's when I'm going to know things are getting better.
Yeah.
Whenever that night comes, the baseball side of this, and I bring you on to talk baseball, but you live near Patterson Park and you work for the Washington Post, I say it right. And, you know, forever we've known each other through baseball and sports and Olympics and just sort of common love of the same things. And, you know, I'm finding all these ticket stubs, whether it's old Blast ticket stubs or Skipjacks or Clippers or, you know, concerts, lots and lots of concerts and Merriweather tickets. And I was telling the story the other day about Howard Jones at Merriweather during the cicadas of 87, you know.
Wow.
And we got cicadas coming back and I'm planning on getting them into my diet at some point before it's all over with. But baseball and where we are and the lease, I had a long, hour-long conversation with Marty Conway. I hope everybody goes and checks it out. I've had Maury Brown on talking AC/DC and rock and roll and baseball this week.
Yeah.
I don't want to say you're getting transferred out of baseball or, you know, whatever. I'm trying a year into this, Dave, and I haven't had you on since we've been Zooming, and I feel like I've been Zooming for a year, you know. But just what the plague is going to do on the other side for sports, for business, for mojo, for the things you're really going to want to do. And I'm going to tell you about Patterson Park and my wife walking the city and things that I've learned to enjoy that I have found other things, other girls, other events, other things to occupy my time that don't include watching hockey games for no one, crappy college basketball where there feels like there's no outcome and I'm wondering why they're playing, 4-game college football seasons where national champions were, like all of this. And I've called it, you'll love this, I've called it the Eddie Fainter syndrome, right? Like where it jumps the shark and it's no longer like sanctioned. It's more just like a pickup game or a tournament or a weekend bender or an exhibition like Eddie Fainter pitching down at Stemmer's Run when I saw him when I was a kid. I'm having trouble with sports right now as it is. I'm not going to have any problem with a concert when it comes back. It's going to be real. But the other than the NFL, which felt like a good competition, watching the Preakness be run for nobody in October and watching the Masters be played where there's no – like all of that, when this is over with, I just think there's going to be a paradigm shift all throughout all of this. And I don't know that we're really ready for that.
Yeah, and I don't know what it's going to look like. And I mean, I don't – you know – there's two sides to this, right? With sports in the age of COVID. I mean, one is that, you know, getting it back and having sports as an anchor in our daily lives was important. And so all the times when I would feel like this is stupid, inconsequential, silly, ridiculous stuff for me to be writing about sports during this time when my colleagues at the paper are writing about life and death and writing about politics. You know, whenever I started to feel this pointless, you know, I would think about how important it still is to people and how, you know, even in these times we need something like that, to distract us, I guess. But then, you know, the flip side is that, you know, I mean, you come to realize what's important in America, when you start to see what endured and what kept going through the pandemic. You know, our kids were in Zoom school and they're still in Zoom school. They haven't been in a classroom in almost a year now.
And they watched, they're 12 and 14 and they watched people like Spider-Man climb in the Capitol 5 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And mom and dad have to explain that to them.
Yeah. And, you know, restaurants shut down. You know, we've lost restaurants in our neighborhood. We've lost, you know, who knows how much cultural identity and, you know, business in the city and in the country. But, you know, there wasn't a single professional sports league really that shut down completely, right? I mean, everything kept going. So it tells you what's important, and maybe it's not the right things, you know?
Television's important. That's how the guy got elected to begin with, right?
Yeah. I mean, television runs it all, right? I mean, that's, believe me, I came to understand that writing about baseball in the age of COVID, and how, you know, the smart play would have been to delay everything and push the World Series maybe into November if you had to, but, you know, TV said no way. And that's the same thing that's happening right now with the 2021 season. You know, it would have been smart to wait a while, let the vaccine work its magic, get people vaccinated, get players vaccinated, get fans back in stadiums, push the World Series into November, December, but TV, you know, runs everything. And that was a non-starter. So,
well, the money won't wait, right?
Well, TV won't wait. I mean, TV
is the money.
Yeah. TV is the money. And so, you know, TV has the NFL and everything else in November, and they don't want baseball pushed into there. So, you know, money rules all. And I think that's the, you know, that's always the takeaway, right? No matter what we're talking about, you know, but in sports in the age of COVID, that was the story, that money runs all.
Dave Shinen is here from the Washington Post, but he lives here in Palmer, you know, on the other side of Butcher's Hill and by Patterson Park. And we're going to get to that in a couple of minutes, but I want to stay on baseball and on the city. And I've been bringing this topic up. This is my big thought for the week. And I guess it started with Marty Conway and the 2-year lease. And in talking about the city, and you've seen the emergence of the city, you know, through the course of your adulthood. You and I have known each other since we were, you know, whippersnappers at this point, almost 25, 30 years, whatever it's been. And the notion that the Inner Harbor would be built and there'd be an aquarium and a science center, and then the next thing would be retaining the baseball team with a dream of stealing a football team, right? Like, that mm-hmm. was what that's what Marty Conway and Larry Lucchino and Ebert Bennett Williams and Eli Jacobs, like, that's what that was in 1988, 89, 90, 91. And now we're 30 years out on it, and we got a 2-year lease, and I'll give you plenty of oxygen to read those tea leaves in any way you want in regard to the Angelos family and the ownership. But I keep coming back to this, that whoever owns the team, whatever it is, 3 years, 5 years post-pandemic, even if the team ever gets good again, the bringing of people back down to the stadium, the bringing of people to the city, what's going to be in the city, what is going to be in all these restaurants that used to be that we hope are again, what the harbor is going to look like, what the hotel situation, the convention center, all of that. But baseball and sports in our city was deemed that important 3 decades ago that everybody went all in, black, white, east, west, like, it wasn't 100% consensus. There never is, but there was not really a little bit in Annapolis. I remember when the football team came along about getting the money there and all that. But when it came time to build Camden Yards, it was just sort of like rubber stamp. That didn't happen in California the last 40 years, which cost them all sorts of things. And sports is different in other places. But I think the whole country's there now. And at this time, the question I've been asking, Dave, and I began this with Marty, which is, look, we know the thing, right? The thing is what happened in Atlanta and in Philadelphia and St. Louis and the Fenway Park seats and Wrigleyville parking garages. And it's that parking lot. It's that casino down at the edge of the street. It's the football stadium. It's a civic endeavor for the state, for the city, for the sports franchises, for the stakeholders, for the travel community, for everybody, taxpayers, to say, what are we going to do to resurrect it again? Because it's not just about, well, the Orioles will win 95 games 1 year, and they'll all just come back and get crab cakes, and we'll walk around the harbor. No, 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 no. I've talked to the people in Harford County and Howard County and Carroll County, especially in Howard County, where they can go to the baseball, a better team in D.C., and have a different kind of experience at a higher ticket. But what the vision and the visionaries that decided what the ballpark was going to look like, what the parking lot was going to look like, what the taxes, the TIFs, all of that, there was a whole different world. And I don't know what that world's going to look like, but the Orioles and Marty and everybody smart knows something's going to need to be erected, constructed, that's going to be quasi-public, that's going to make it worth a billion-dollar investment on the part of the state and the community to do something to inject life back into it for the next 15, 30 years.
Well, yeah. And I mean, the question is, what's that going to be? And I have not seen the segment with Marty, but did he have ideas about what that was going to look like?
Well, my point would be the Angelos family's had 30 years, and I keep going Jack Nicholson and saying, you know, if we gave you $1 billion, what are you going to build there? Come up with an idea. I mean, and Dave, I've said this, and you know this. You've been in the sports writing business in this city too long. I've got like 6 proposals in the last 35 years for an arena. That was never going to happen. It was never real. You know, it had the circus and some fake NHL team that they were never going to get, you know, bring back the Bullets, all of that. I haven't seen anything for like what they really want to do with the harbor, what they really want to do with the parking lots over here. Like all of that. I've seen maglev. I've seen ideas. I've seen the Preakness idea, right? Which is the cheapest idea they can have to still keep the race. And that's cool. We've seen super tracks. I've seen NASCAR super tracks in Middle River. I've seen a super casino track thing that they wanted to do here, right? Their plans, but the Orioles and whoever owns the baseball team and the football team, because it won't be Steve forever, right? That's clear. Whoever's going to own these properties, that parking lot and whatever gateway arch they're going to build there of whatever kind, they better do something, right? I mean, like, that's what 2-year lease says to me. It says to me, hello? Somebody wake up. Who's the governor? Who's going to be the next governor? Mm-hmm. Because we better figure this out.
Yeah. And I mean, if you walk around the Inner Harbor these days, I mean, you start to think about the potential there and what a tragic thing it is for it to be a shell. And what other city and what other sports franchise has this type of setting and the natural, gathering place for the city to come together in a central location like that, it should be spurring big thoughts. You know, it should be stirring something, think big here, you know.
Well, if somebody comes in and gives the Angelos $1.5 billion for the project, right? I would think they're thinking about more than Jim Palmer's bobbleheads. You know what I mean? Like literally, if you're going to buy this thing, not only are you a stakeholder, you're going to need every business here because that's the way it worked 35 years ago. That you witnessed it. You and I are a product of it, that baseball team didn't wind up out by Dulles, right? Mm-hmm. That Edward Bennett Williams didn't pull rank and pull it out of here, sell it off to the Gypsies the way Short did, you know, the previous administration. So, you know, I think about all the good fortune and all the good things. And look, Dave, you live here and we're about to talk about Patterson Park and how beautiful our city is and all the great things we can still do here. But all of that Mayor Nestor selling points of 95, location, port, hospitals, education, location, location, all of that still exists, right? So, and I still believe, I mean, that's why I've moved my life to talking about these things other than box scores and who the fifth starter for the Orioles is going to be and who are they going to come north with and all those things that I did for 20 years when it mattered. I think the plague has moved me onto a spot where asking these questions of the baseball team, they threw me out for it 15 years ago, but somebody's going to have to answer that question come like soon because a 24-month lease really smacks of there should be fear and concern and an effort, you know, a real effort, some sweat equity, you know?
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I think I've said this to you before, though, is the flip side of the fear and, you know, we talked about how money rules all. If what you're getting at is sort of like the Orioles moving eventually or something, I think that Major League Baseball, I don't see that happening because, you know, Major League Baseball wants to protect the best cities out there for expansion down the road and not that far down the road, especially now given the losses they claim they had in 2020 and are going to have in 2021. Expansion is such a massive, is of such massive importance for MLB. I don't see them letting any team move anytime soon.
Give me the lowdown on that. Cause I mean, the really smart people like you and Marty say they're not moving. Don't fear that into people.
Yeah, yeah.
And dude, I was here with the Colts. I remember flying into St. Louis when they had a football team. I remember flying into San Diego when they had a football team. And Atlanta built another stadium. Texas just built another stadium, right? So you can sing me about Camden Yards, but at some point, people are going to need to come back. And when they come back, and this is where Marty jumped in, at some point, it's going to have to be more than what we left 30 years ago, which was, quite frankly, a stadium that was designed to look like 1940, right? Mm-hmm. So you're now, like, functionality-wise, the way people wear these little orange passes and they wander about like a general admission wandering seat and the picnic area and the beer deck and all of the things, there's going to have to be some real state money involved. I mean, and I are going to pay for whatever they're going to do over there. So I hope they do something good.
Well, and they need it right at this point. I mean, you know, Camden Yards look is still a great stadium. It's still one of the best. I think I talk to people in my walk of life all the time who consider it, you know, a top three, top five stadium in baseball. It still has that appeal. But, you know, it's outdated for what the game has turned into. And you look at, like, the revenue streams, you know, that places have created out of thin air, like in Boston and at Wrigley Field. There's going to have to be some innovative thinking about modernizing and updating and renovating and expanding the revenue possibilities for Camden Yards. So I think there's a lot of things that are going to need to be done to that stadium, but I see that stadium outliving both of us, you know, as the functionary, home of the Baltimore Orioles.
What do you know about Nashville and expansion in regard to, well, they'll eventually be a team there, right? I mean, it's just a matter of what that team is.
Yeah.
Explain to our audience the dynamics of the cash grab of adding expansion teams. And I guess you could read up on the Seattle Kraken, right? Or, you know, whomever to figure out the going rate. It just means everybody winds up getting a nice little, you know, $50 million check, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I mean, I think at one time, Nashville looked like a imminent sort of thing, like not tomorrow, not even maybe this year, but maybe by next year. A very interesting thing happened with Dave Dombrowski becoming sort of involved in the ownership group there and becoming the lead, like, liaison between the ownership group and Major League Baseball. Dave Dombrowski was set to be a part owner and team president of the Nashville team when that happened. He got fired from the Red Sox, and instead of taking another job in baseball, which he could have done, he went to this Nashville ownership group and became the point person for that.
Under the guise they were going to steal a team or get an expansion team?
I think the thought was expansion, because again, baseball is not going to move one of its problem teams, like, you know, the A's or Tampa Bay Rays, until, you know, they're trying to get stadium deals for those teams because they want to protect cities like Nashville. Instead of giving that over to one team like Tampa Bay or something like that, they want to hold that out for the $1 billion.
Well, the NFL did that with Los Angeles for two decades.
Well, and baseball's done that too. I mean, you know, the Marlins, the Rockies, the D-backs. I mean, going back to the Mets in 62. I mean, baseball, you know, expansion is a way to infuse immediate cash for every team in the league. The downside, of course, is that it's shaving the pie for everybody a little thinner in terms of, you know, revenue sharing down the road. But there's an immediate cash infusion, which
Players Association love 50 more jobs too with two teams, right?
Absolutely, you wouldn't get any blowback from them. But what happened is that Dave Dombrowski, it certainly appears, got wind that maybe this was not happening as on the timetable he thought. And so, you know, he left that Nashville group, took the job with the Phillies. So now I think the question with expansion is now kicked down the road for some time. We don't really know when that's on the agenda. Rob Manfred kind of, talks around questions about it. He talks, instead of expansion, he wants to talk about settling the A's and the Tampa Bay Rays stadium situation. So now I think we're at a point where we don't know when it's going to happen, but it's going to happen. And I think Nashville is still the leader in the clubhouse for the first city to get an expansion team when it happens.
Dave Shinen is here from the Washington Post. Now, professionally, you're like on baseball, but like doing other stuff, right? And I would think you love this at this point in your life to say, I can write about anything that I dream up that's a great story, right? Yeah. Which is what we all dream of doing, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's not specifically towards baseball. I probably will still have a hand in some of that because it's territory that's familiar to me. But I'm on this team of, there's four of us. We're called the Sports and Society team. So we're writing a lot of stories about the intersection of sports and society, which, you know, as you know, right now has never been more prominent when you think about race and gender issues and COVID playing through a pandemic. I mean, that falls under our purview as well. So it's a really cool gig and I'm really excited to jump into it. I've only been at this for a week and change.
Well, I love that your hat mixes two of your favorite things, sports and a baseball hat. So, that, you know, music and a baseball hat, I should say. 0.0, says Fangraphs of the Orioles. Blutarski, and, you know, of course, I tweeted out, so you say there's no chance? I've been saying that on the radio for a long time, and they called me a heretic. As much as we can bang about the parking lot and John and Peter and where Peter is and where Mike Elias is and whether they're going to let fans in and whether we're going to go drink beer or not, what's the real prognosis for the baseball? Because I got to think Mike Elias might be scratching his head this far into this saying, why did I sign up for this gig to some degree? I know they're just starting to sign international players and doing things that other franchises have been doing since last century. I know that everything's shrouded in secrecy around, you know, Team Orange, but where are they? What do you know about when the baby will be made and we'll go to real games?
Well, nobody really knows that definitively, and so much of it is going to depend on what happens this year, of course. I do think that, you know, this could be a year where a corner is turned and you start pointing towards building back up in 2022. I think so much of that's going to depend on Adley Rutschman and some of the, you know, the prospects that are close. The thing that disturbs me and that I still, you know, I'm not a big fan of the tear down and rebuild. There was a time when that was effective. We saw the Astros do it while Mike Elias was there. We've seen the Cubs do it to some extent. The Washington Nationals did it in when they got back-to-back number one overall draft picks and got, you know, Steven Strasburg and Bryce Harper. But, you know, it's effective when one or two teams are doing that, you know. But when six or seven or eight are doing it, it's so much less effective because, you know, everybody can't get the number one overall pick when that's going on, when everybody's tanking. And if you start looking at free agency this year, you know, there were big things going on with Trevor Bauer and George Springer and JT Realmuto. But you look at there's a half dozen teams that spent nothing or next to nothing.
And the Rockies give away their Cal Ripken. Right.
The Rockies gave away their Cal Ripken and for pennies on the dollar and have not signed, to my knowledge, a single guaranteed contract with a big league free agent.
Maybe they're moving to Nashville.
Yeah. So where does the line start? Right. So it's going to be super hard for the Orioles to pull off what the Astros did. And of course, that's the model everybody wants to use. And it's a great model. And yeah, if you can pull that off, you know, more power to you. But the Astros didn't have competition in 2012, 2013, 2014, when they were tanking the way the Orioles do right now for, you know, draft picks, for cheap pieces. So it's exponentially harder to pull it off. And I don't know. I have real doubts about it. I would have preferred them to, you know, if you're going to rebuild, do it on a smaller level and keep a competitive team on the field. There are teams, you know, there are teams who continue to do that, you know, who continue to try and then once in a while kind of get lucky. And that's a proven model as well. And I think a much more rational one.
I liked it better when the Red Sox and the Cubs sucked just because they sucked, not because they were trying to suck. I mean, the beauty was they were trying to be good and they sucked. Not they were trying to suck and suck. It's easy to suck when you're trying. You know,
I mean, when teams like that are not trying to win, you know, you have to be really bothered about where the sport is headed right now.
Well, I think the brand of all of it is a little messy. All right, so the brand of Baltimore is messy, but I want to give some Baltimore love into your neighborhood and let you wax for a minute, because last May, the first time my wife and I could like go out and walk around, the first time we felt a little like, all right, we're not going to die by taking a walk, and we got our masks. We walked over and got pizza over at Verde, and we carried it up to Patterson Park, and we old school ripped it. With the pesto and the nuts. Oh my God, the pistachios was incredible. And we pulled beer, you know, out of a paper bag, and we sat in a park bench. And there were some dudes of my Latin persuasion kicking a soccer ball, and there were families, black people, white people, young people, old people. It was a beautiful night in the park. The sun was setting. And my wife's like, well, the car's over here, but we didn't even have the car. We were walking, as a matter of fact. We didn't have the car. We were walking. She's like, let's walk over toward the pagoda. And I'm like, I don't know what's over toward the pagoda. I just know where the pagoda is. Oh, and man. I just know. So I have been to Patterson Park genuinely 10,000 times. I played hockey at the bubble, and I won the pitch hit and run, the Tom McCann pitch hit and run. I won it in Highland Town, and I got to go play at Memorial Stadium when I was 10 years nice. Old. So yeah, literally. I mean, so like I cover games at Utz Tournaments, all that. So we're on the park bench, and I want to give you the vibe. We're sitting with our backs to the castle, the Ukrainian castle, and yeah. We're staring into the park northbound, the bubbles off to the right, and the pagoda's off to the left. And she's like, let's walk toward the pagoda. It's a nice night. I'm like, all right, I got pizza, I had a beer. I'm like, good. We had a solo cup. I'm cool. We go for the walk, and people are jogging, doing stuff. And I'm like, I don't know what's there. And we turn a corner, and there's trees. And all of a sudden, like, I can't see anything anymore, and it feels like I'm in Central Park. And I go down in, and there's a pond, and there's birds, like birds I've never seen before, and flowers I've never seen before. And I start to walk on the path, and I said to my wife, I'm like, how in the world did I not know this was here? And you're laughing at me because it's your neighborhood. And I just wanted to tell you that story, that this plague has found us walking in Centennial Park, 2 mile track in Howard County. It's had us walking in gunpowder up in Bel Air, my wife up in Oregon Ridge. We've taken care of all the county executives. I've told them all, I've come to your county and gone for long walks in parks. But Patterson Park in the pond, I almost don't want to tell anybody about it because it was so cool.
And that's awesome. I got to tell you one thing is, and I'm terrible at self-promotion, but on the record I put out in 2018, called First Thing Tomorrow, the closing song is called Goodbye City. And it started with me sitting by the pagoda one day and looking out at the city, looking east. And, you know, you've got Mr. Bo out there on Brewer's Hill. You can see the Key Bridge. And so I wrote this song, and it's got, you know, it starts out at Pagoda Hill. A man can still find sanctuary out among the squirrels and whippoorwills. So, and it's got Mr. Bo in it. Mr. Bo starts the second verse. It's got the Key Bridge in it. It's got Cal Ripken in it. The Iron Man, and it's about, I wound up ruminating about friends who had left the city, and that's why it's called Goodbye City. But it's about, you know, it's about a connection to your city and about, you know, me staying, you know, and that's what the song wound up being. And it all started, because of the beauty of Patterson Park and sitting out there by the pagoda, which is, I can see the pagoda from my roof deck. It's, I'm one and a half blocks from the pagoda. I watched
all that stuff happen. Like the Ukrainian castle, when I was a boy, I watched it go up. You know what I mean?
Oh, wow.
And we were, yeah, because it wasn't always there, you know, yeah. It looks like I took a picture that night of my wife and I said, I told my wife there'd be pizza and a castle.
Yeah, there you go. So
it's like the Magic Kingdom on Eastern Avenue is what it's like, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And if you haven't seen the pagoda lately in the winter, it looks gorgeous. It's all lit up and with these beautiful lights. And if you check out look on Facebook, there were some great pagoda photos from the snowfall with the trees and everything. And I mean, it's just never looked prettier.
Well, I'll tell you what, I see it through the magic of the interwebs. When I do searches on this, I can actually pull some of this stuff up and show people some of the beauty. But I would say this, the little pond there. All right, last thing, most important thing, I'm doing this with everybody this month. I want you to give me, and this is going to be not too difficult because I haven't eaten everywhere. I want you to give me a place or two in Baltimore, in the city, I guess, because, you know, but you could be in the county. Local that I haven't been. And something I need to order that I haven't ordered. So don't send me to a meat cheese or, you know what I mean? Like, a new place for me.
Okay. I got a couple.
Go ahead. This is free plug time.
Okay. Luchadoras Tacos.
Oh, okay.
On Broadway. La Burrita, Argentine steaks and pastas and stuff all in Butcher's Hill. On Fairmount, I believe, in Chester.
Oh, wow. La Burrita. Now you're helping me. And now you're talking my side of town here, right?
Yeah. La Burrita.
Right. Spell that.
La, and then Barrita.
Okay, gotcha. North Chester Street. I'm looking it up. Okay, it's a little west side. I like it.
Phenomenal.
Okay.
Water for Chocolate. Incredible brunch spot, but also... you know, sort of Caribbean and soul food influenced dinners and American, new American type of cuisine.
Dude, you're giving me a tour of Butcher's Hill in Upper Fells Point. I like it.
And right around the corner from me is Charmed Kitchen, which has right now is doing only takeout, but also has like a small little grocery and beer and wine and old line spirits. Which is
ceviche in that place. Look out.
Yeah. So there you go, man. That's what, four or five places?
Man, you're gonna keep me busy this summer. I'm gonna promise you I'm gonna text at you when I'm within eight blocks and when I'm there, and you're either gonna come and have some red wine with me, or at least we're gonna toast you. All right.
Where else am I going, man?
Well, you're going places in that Prince hat. Let me tell you what, man. That's the symbol there. Shine, I love you, man. And I appreciate these stories. And I love that your music had something to do with the park and the pond and the pagoda. Yeah. I went to Japan before all this was happened to see you too. And I think we got COVID, believe it or not, last January. My wife and I were pretty sick during that point with Lamar lost last year. And, you know, the pagoda and Japanese culture. And hey, I'll give you a spot. Have you had ramen otsuki down at the Inner Harbor? Have you had ramen on Broadway? You like ramen?
Yeah, on Broadway, yes.
That's the same family that owns the place near me. It's right near Luchadoras, right around the corner from Ekabon. Hold on, I'll get you the name because they're both called ramen something because I want to make sure. Ramen. Hold on. Kippo ramen.
Yes, I have.
And but our friends are Ramen Otsuki. It's, you know, literally the best ramen I've had this side of Tokyo. So while we're on pagodas, I want to give some love there. All right. Appreciate you shining. We'll see you at the baseball game. All right, buddy.
Good to see you. Thanks for having me.
Dave Shining on special assignment sent by the symbol himself. You find him out on the interwebs. And by all means, buy the album, download, support local artists, support local sports writers. Support the Orioles, for crying out loud. They only got 2 years left on the lease. I can start saying that now. We are WNST.net, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking great Baltimore places. I'm going to get fat this year eating all these carnitas.